Hey everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name's Elijah Merle. So honored and blessed you took out the time to join us again today. Wherever you find yourself in the world, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Breaker, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, what else do we have? Breaker, what else? CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever you find yourself listening to the podcast. So honored and blessed that you're taking out the time to click play on another installment of the Greater Than Podcast. The purpose of the podcast, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, you've already overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Today, oh my goodness. Listen, first of all, we're here, we're in season three. Season three is a go for Greater Than Podcast, and I'm excited about it. We've already had Pastor James Lavender sharing his testimony and had a discussion with him. We had, is socialism biblical? Oh man, what a good podcast that was, with a little surprise with Patrick Starr being featured on that podcast. Be there with my good friend, Pastor Micah Herbert. Man, what a podcast that one was, with a special appearance, advice and counsel from our youth pastor from back in those days, Phyllis Moore, my spiritual mother. Such a great podcast that have happened lately. So if you're not, if you're just joining in, go back and listen to some of these things, man. You'll be encouraged by it. I try not to do any of the podcasts in a particular order of parts. That's just how I do it. A lot of people aren't that way, but that's just how I do it. Just so people can jump in and see, like, okay, this title kind of speaks to me. That title kind of speaks to me. And you can just go around and go at your own pace. We do have a couple of series on the podcast, but I think it's literally only two that we've had on the podcast thus far, with A Culture of Honor and then The Manifestations of the Spirit with Chris Jacobs. And so, anyway, I'm so excited. Long intro, but anyway, I say all that to say I'm excited about season three. We got some cool guests coming, some guests who've never been on the podcast before, some recurring guests who are coming back on the podcast. Man, we are going to have a great time this season of season three of the Greater Than Podcast. Let's pray, and we're going to dig right on into today's topic. You see the title. We're talking about the way out. Oh, and I'm so excited about it. Father God, thank you so much for each and every person who's joined in on this podcast. Father, I say, I decrease so that you may increase, Father. I say that your word ministered under your anointing would evoke a change and would get us up to that next level in you. And Father, we give you praise for this. We acknowledge you, sir. And we ask you to direct our path. And we give you praise for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's just jump right on in. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 in the Passion Translation. Hope you guys are doing good, man. I hope you're having a good day. And if not, man, I tell you what, I'm believing God that your day will be better by the time you get through with this podcast, man. The Lord is so faithful to minister through his word. Not by me. I don't have anything that can give you joy or peace, but his word ministered under his anointing really does that. It quickens. He gives life. His words are spirit and they are life, is what he said in John 6:63. But anyway, here in 2 Timothy 2:24-26 in the Passion Translation. For a true servant of our Lord Jesus Christ will not be argumentative. Man, I tell you what, man, I'm gonna move on. But gentle toward all and skilled in helping others see the truth. Having great patience towards the immature. We're called to have great patience towards those who are immature. Then with meekness, you'll be able to carefully enlighten those who argue with you so that they can see, watch this, God's gracious gift of repentance and be brought to the truth. This is my favorite part of the verse. This will cause them to rediscover themselves and escape from the snare of Satan, who caught them in his trap so that they would carry out his purposes. This will cause them, what will cause them to do this? Repenting and being brought to the truth will cause people to rediscover themselves and escape from the snare of Satan, who's caught them in his trap so that they would carry out his purposes. Notice what Paul says here, having great patience towards the immature. In the Passion Translation is how he says it, the immature. notice this. He says they need meekness. They need to be enlightened so that they can see God's gracious gift of repentance. There are some who believe that we don't repent anymore because we're under grace. So there's no repentance that needs to take place. But this is why I brought it out in the Passion Translation, because the Passion Translation says this: so that they can see God's gracious gift of repentance. Here's the first thing I'll say. Repentance is a grace gift. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Repentance is a grace gift. A lot of times people say, well, you know, we don't have to repent anymore. We're under grace. Well, actually, a part of being under grace is having the ability to repent. Listen, I'm getting tickled already. I ain't started yet, my guy. Good night. A part of this gracious gift, a part of the grace of God, is having the ability to repent. Let me read this to you in another translation. Let me get the Amplified out real quick. The Amplified version says it like this: he must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they would perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it. Acknowledge what? The truth, to get themselves out of the snare of the devil. These are is pivotal, is key in our walk with God, this amazing grace gift called repentance. It says here in another translation that God will grant them repentance. Let me read it to you in the, I'm pulling it up right now. This is me recording this live, right? Let me pull this up here. It says in the NIV, you got to be gentle to instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. Watch this, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. But like I said, I love the Passion Translation of that. It says God's gracious gift, repentance, is a grace gift. It's a gift of God. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Let's go to Hebrews 6 here, verse 1 through 3, the Passion Translation still. Now is the time for us to progress beyond the basic message of Christ and advance into perfection. The foundation has already been laid for us to build upon. Here's the foundation. Here's the foundational truths. Number one, turning away from dead works to embrace faith in God. Excuse me there. Teaching about different baptisms, plural. Impartation by the laying on of hands. We talked about that just a little bit in the podcast we did with Micah Herbert on Be There. Resurrection of the dead. These are the foundational principles of Christ, and eternal judgment. So with God's enablement, we will move on to greater truths. The King James, New King James says this: we will move on if God permits. You know, if you're building a building, you need a permit in order to get some things going and get some things rolling here. So what he's saying here is we can't build on this foundation unless we get the permit. We can't go on to these different things if we don't have a good foundation. The foundation is key. He talks about here with the foundation. The first thing he says, he could have said anything first, but the first thing he says is turning away from dead works to embrace faith in God. One translation says useless deeds. This means dead works. And these dead works are the attempts of people to please God through religion, keeping religious laws and tradition, and serving others to gain influence with God. Here's the big thing you need to get. These are dead works, right? Watch this. And remember this and keep it in your back pocket. It's going to come back up later. There was one work that brings life to all. And this was and is the work of Christ on the cross. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So if faith without works is dead, watch me now, I'm going to slow down. If faith without works is dead, then works without faith is, well, it's double dead. I preached this message at Buckhead Baptist Church Now it's now they changed the name to Buckhead Life Church. Congratulations to them, to Pastors William and Gloria Givens. I preached this for them one time when they were out of town. And my good friend who edits the podcast, Frankie, was there. And I said this point here. If faith without works is dead, then works without faith is, I said dead. But Frankie told me after the service that he said double dead. And I said, I like that. I'm going to incorporate that. So shout out to Frankie again, man. I tell you, if faith without works is dead, then works without faith is double dead. If we're doing these works trying to be righteous before God, and not based on faith, but based on what our right standing could be with God, based on our works, not based on faith in Jesus, it's double dead. And he's saying you need to repent from dead works to embrace a living God. It's like it's, repentance is this motion of turning, because that's what repent means, right? It means to turn. It means to make that U-ey. It means to make that U-turn, man. Man, Frankie, give me a sound effect of a U-turn. Let's get it real quick. It means to make the U-ey and go the other way. It means to change the mind. It means to go a different way. But if this repentance is going the other way, right? So you're turning from one thing and turning to something else. See, repentance is not just turning away from sin. Why do I bring that up, Elijah? Well, why bring that up, Elijah? Well, because of what we read here in Hebrews. He says, turning away from dead works, repenting, to embrace faith in God. So in other words, you're turning away from trying to get things right of your own self, by your own efforts, by your own works. You're turning from that. You're making the U-ey. Let me get that sound effect one more time, Frankie. You're making the U-ey from trying to do it your own way, and you've turned to embrace faith in God and faith in what God did in Jesus. Repentance is not just turning away from porn. No, because a lot of times people have done that. They've turned away from porn. They've deleted these accounts, and they've deleted different things that bring temptation, whether it's eating too much. It's not just pornography, but whatever it is in people's lives, they turn away from these things, but they don't embrace faith in God. They try to do it in, okay, I'm strong enough, I can do this. No, you're not. This is why repentance is the greatest. I honestly think, and people may think I'm wrong here, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I believe that repentance is the greatest grace gift that we've been given, because it allows us to turn from our dead works. Not only that, but also it allows us to embrace faith in God. Sorry, guys. I felt a quickening, as we say in the old church. Romans 14:23 says this, and he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not in faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if we're trying to repent in and of ourselves, here's the point. Whatever, let me read that to you again. The last part of this verse of Romans 14, verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we're trying to turn away from these works, but we don't embrace faith in God and what he did in Jesus to make us righteous, to make us holy, then, ladies and gentlemen, that faith is not valid. That faith is not in God. And whatever is not of faith is sin. You will end up sinning again, is what I'm saying. If you're trying to turn away from dead works, if you're trying to turn away from the things that have been hindering you in your life and your walk with God, and you're trying to turn from that and not do that anymore, but not embracing a faith and dependence on God, that's not faith. That's not real faith. That's not real repentance. And you're going to end up right back in that sin. 3 points as I normally like to do. Point number one, repentance is the way out of doubt. Repentance is the way out of doubt. Mark 1:15 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Watch this. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Remember what we read in Hebrews. turning away from dead works and embracing faith in God. Repentance is that motion of turning. But see, you don't turn. If you're turning from one direction, that means you're going in a different direction. So what's the different direction you're going in? You're going in the direction of faith in God. You're embracing faith in God. Repentance is a motion. It's a motion of turning and going the other way. It's a motion of repenting, turning from your ways and believing in the gospel. Notice that Jesus said, believe in the gospel. Paul reveals to us later by the Holy Spirit that the gospel is the almost too good to be true news about what our good God has done in the one who went about doing good, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is a gospel of grace. Repent and believe in the grace of God, in the good news of God's grace. Now, I wonder here, if the body of Christ, if a big problem is in the body of Christ, isn't so much a lack of faith, but a failure to repent. I'm pausing for effect. I wonder if the body of Christ's problem isn't so much a lack of faith, but a failure to repent. Repentance and faith are the conditions of admission into the Christian covenant. I love it, man. It rhymed. Repentance and faith are the conditions of admission into the Christian covenant. Have we laid the first foundational stone? There is no true faith without repentance. There is no repentance without true faith. These guys are inseparable from one another. Luke 24, 46 through 47, Jesus said, it was written. He's expressing and letting the disciples know about the amazing work that had been done through the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. Thus it was written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Are we preaching repentance? We preach remission of sin because of what Jesus has done, if we accept him, what he's done. But do we still preach repentance, though? Jesus said, the Lord head of the church, this is the big boss man himself, he said, that this repentance and remission of sin, not just remission of sin. And he puts repentance first. Repentance goes first and remission of sin. He wants it to be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 20, verse 20 through 21 says this. This is Paul talking. Have I kept back nothing that was helpful to proclaim it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house? This is the New King James. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. What are you testifying about, Apostle Paul? What are you testifying about, you apostle of grace, you? He's testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Repentance, excuse me there, repentance is our response to God. Faith is our response to Jesus. I'm gonna run that back. Repentance is our response to God. Faith is our response to Jesus. Christ is the object of our faith, distinguished from the Father, who is the object of our repentance. Repentance of itself is not sufficient. It makes no satisfaction for the law. Repenting just by yourself, what I said earlier, right? When we were talking about Hebrews, where you're repenting, you're turning from one thing and going somewhere else, right? So repentance without faith is not sufficient. It makes no satisfaction for the law, which we have all broken. And hence, over and above repentance, because of the fact that we've all broken the law, right? And if you don't think you've broken the law, man, listen to Can a Non-Christian Go to Heaven? Because I tell you what, the Bible says that it will take long continuous and doing good for anyone to be able to seek immortality and these glory and this honor. And he said that your works will take the witness stand. Your conscience, I should say, will take the witness stand and either accuse or excuse you. And your, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to have sweat running back on the back of my leg trying to say, did I do enough good? Did I do enough good? Because honey child, you didn't. Why on earth would you try to go this old way that was set and instituted in the law? If you did this law, you would live by them, when we've got the new and living way that says that the just, those who have already been declared righteous, will live by faith. And faith is called the law. You know, this is a side note. I'm not going to charge you for this. This is free. You know, the Bible says in Romans that the strength of sin is the law. But also in Romans 3, long about 23, 26, somewhere in there, in Romans 3, it talks about the law of faith. So if the strength of the law of sin, if strength of the law is sin, then what is the strength of the law of faith? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Romans 4. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Here's what I'm saying. The strength of the law is sin. The strength of the law of faith is grace. Oh, I tell you, I'm getting too excited out here in these streets. It says here that we've all broken the law, and because of that, there is required from us faith in the gospel. That's what Jesus preached, right? That's what Jesus said should be preached. That's what he preached while he was here on earth. That's what he wanted to continue on to be preaching when he left, to be with the Father and to be our advocate and to intercede for us. Wherein Christ is revealed to us as a propitiation for sin and as the only way of reconciliation with the Father. Without faith, repentance becomes, watch this. Without faith, repentance becomes despair. And without repentance, watch this now, faith becomes only presumption. I had to drop the tablet on that one. Let me run that one back. Without repentance, let me back it up. Without faith, repentance becomes despair. And without repentance, faith becomes only presumption. Join the two together, and the faithful soul is born onwards. It's a well-balanced vessel. It's perfectly balanced, in other words, as all things should be. Point number two, emotion is not the way out. Emotion is not the way out. He says here in Hebrews 12, 14 through 17, this is a short point, so I'm going to move right on to the third point. Pursue peace with all men. Pastor William Gibbons talked about that at Spirit Wind Conference in the podcast entitled No Offense. I tell you what a powerful time we had at Spirit Wind, man. I still today, man, you know how long it's been since Spirit Wind? Today, man, even to this day, I still get compliments about Spirit Wind Conference and how the Lord moved and how the Lord met us and the Lord was good and gracious to us, man. And there's more Spirit Wind Conference to come, man. Just keep your eyes out, man. We may be coming to a city near you before it's all said and done. Point number two, emotion is not the way out. Pursue peace with all people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Oh, we got to talk about holiness on the podcast. What is holiness? And holy, I may title that one Holier Than Thou. What is holiness? All right, here we go. Without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest any fall short, watch this, of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like, watch this, Esau. Esau is what he did is likened to fornication. Pause and perfect. Who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. I wonder if there's been any time where you sold and you gave away something eternal for something temporal. That's what Esau did. Oh man, that's not my message. That's another message. That's powerful though. We've all done it, but thank God for repentance. He sold his birthright, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Watch this, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, when it says no place for repentance here, what it literally means, he's talking about Esau's father. Is it Jacob? I don't have his name written down. I don't know if it's Jacob or Isaac. I don't know, man. I should know my history. I'm pretty sure it's Isaac, because Jacob is Jacob and Esau, right? Yeah, okay, cool. So listen, that was a freestyle off the top of the dome. I had to rely on my memory there. I should have written it down, guys. My apologies on that. But anyway, the point remains that what this verse is bringing out here, he found no place of repentance. It literally means that Esau could not find a place to change his father's mind, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, people cry and moan and pout to God, who is the Father. But some have found no place for repentance. Let me say it like this. You're not going to change God's mind with your tears. Uh-oh. You're not going to change his mind with your tears. Because see, he's not looking at all that. What is God looking at? He's looking at the heart. See, that's why I don't judge people and say, man, they're really worshiping and praising God. Because look at them. They're crying their eyes out. That doesn't necessarily mean that. I'm not going to judge the thug who comes into church with a hat, with the cap on backwards, and he's not doing it. He's got his arms folded, but on the inside, he's crying out to God. God looks at the heart. Emotion is not the way out. Emotion is not repentance. Just because somebody is sobbing and snot's running out of their nose, that doesn't mean they repent it. Because once again, faith without repentance is despair. It may just be that they're yielding to despair. You thought they were repenting, but without faith, repentance becomes despair. If there's no faith towards God in it, and if there's no faith in what God did in Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, it's just despair. It's worldly sorrow. And we build it and we promote it as repentance. Look at these young people just crying their eyes out, knowing good and doggone well in their hearts that they're going to go right back to that sin. Why did they go back to that sin? Because they didn't really repent. They didn't turn from that sin to embrace faith in God. Now, I'm not saying that if someone falls, that automatically it says, see there, your heart wasn't right. No, once again, I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. I really don't. That's not my job, and I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't want it. And trust me, you wouldn't want me to have that job. But what I am saying is this, it's the heart. That's all I'm saying, it's the heart. Because you can fall. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times. You know what that tells me? You would have had to have fallen at least 7 times to qualify as a just person. That's what that tells me. You have at least had to have missed it 7 times. To be qualified as just in that verse. A just man falls 7 times, but here's the point. He gets back up again. He doesn't wallow in that sin. He deals with it. He covers it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. What is that? That's repentance. And God is faithful and just to forgive you. He's just to forgive you of that. It's just, it's right. God's court system and his law is upheld by calling you justified when you repent with the right heart. Point number 3, man, I gotta wrap this up, man. Repentance is the way out of destruction. Repentance is the way out of destruction. 2 Peter 3:9-10, Passion Translation again. This means that contrary to man's perception, the Lord is not late with his promise to return as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience toward you. Ladies and gentlemen, stop trying to make Jesus come so early. Stop it. Uh-oh. Because a lot of times you wanting Jesus to come back is selfish. Whoops. a lot of times you're wanting them to come back, but it's for selfish reason. You done had enough of this world. Some of y'all are older. Some of y'all, you've already got loved ones who passed away. Some of you, you got some bills that you don't want to pay. Oh man, Jesus, come on, come quickly, Jesus. But you don't realize that so-and-so over in the jungles hadn't even heard of these things about God. They haven't heard that there's a new and living way, that there's a new way to encounter and to experience God as the Father. And yet you're over here talking about, oh, come Lord Jesus. To me, when I hear that, now not everybody's that way. People have good motives and good intentions. But a lot of times when I hear that, it strikes my ear as selfish. Because I'm thinking about Joe across the street who may have never even heard of God. I'm thinking about Diane who lives way off in the boonies somewhere, isolated, who's never heard. I'm thinking about the people who love sports who've never heard. I'm thinking about the people in all these different arenas of life who haven't heard about these good things, that there is a new and living way to the Father, that you don't have to stand before him based on what you've done. You can stand before him in the finished work of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm not rushing his coming. I'm just going to do my job and complete my assignment by his grace. And then we're going to look up one day and that trumpet is going to sound. Oh, it's going to sound. Don't get it twisted or messed up. It's going to sound. It's going to happen. 100%. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, man. I'm not talking about a Charles Barkley guarantee. Shout out to the NBA on TNT. But it's guaranteed, man. But anyway, his delay, he goes on to say, simply reveals his loving patience towards you, because he does not want any to perish, but he wants all. God wants all people of all time, of all nations, to come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come and take everyone by surprise, as unexpected as a night in, as a home invasion. The atmosphere will be set on fire and vanish with a horrific roar. And the heavenly body and the heavenly bodies will melt away as in a tremendous blaze. The earth and every activity of man will be laid bare. And that's a whole nother podcast. But the main point is, God is, the delay is not what we consider a delay. A delay, quote unquote, you know, quotation marks, but it reveals his loving kindness. He's giving people time to repent. And you're listening to this podcast and you haven't received Jesus, and you listening to this podcast and hearing these truths, is God giving you an opportunity to repent. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess you as Lord. I believe that you lived for me and that you died for me and that you're coming back to get me, that you were raised from the dead and you're seated right now in heavenly places with the Father. I receive you, Lord Jesus. And I call you my Lord and my Savior. Amen. It's that simple. Matter of fact, we can make it even simpler than that. The Bible says that if you just call Jesus Lord and you mean it in your heart, you're saved. That's what happened with Paul on the road to Damascus when he got knocked off that horse. Man, I tell you, that glory pimp slapped. That glory pimp slapped Saul, man. He pimp slapped him off that horse. I'll tell you what, man. And he saw Jesus. And what did he say to him? Who are you, Lord? That's where Paul learned that all you have to do is confess him as Lord and you're saved. Let's move on. Repentance is the way out of destruction. Jesus tells a story in Luke 13:1-9. Basically, he really recounts the evening news that happened there. The evening news that takes place. Man, what was the name of that news station that Willie George used to do? That Church on the Move did. What was the name of that? Was that GNN? What was the name of that news station? Man, if y'all know that one, y'all got to message me on Instagram or Facebook at I Am Elijah Murrow and let me know about that, because that comes up in my heart and mind when it comes to this, because he's talking about something that happened that everybody knows about. He talks about the Tower of Siloam fell on someone. He talks about all these different things. And he says, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And I'm going to skip that one. Just going to reference that one, but that's going to be found in Luke 13:1-9. You can read that for yourself, but for time's sake, we're going to move on to Revelations chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. There's another story in Acts 17-24 where Simon wants to buy the Holy Spirit and buy the anointing. I wonder if there are some people now not only who want to buy the anointing, but I wonder if there's any quote unquote televangelists who sell the anointing. Okay, let's move on real quick, fast and in a hurry. Revelation 2, 19 through 23, New King James. I know your works, Jesus is talking here, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. The history here is that during this time, there was the church there that he's talking to. Here's what a lot of people believe. It's not proven necessarily, but I mean, we have a lot of good evidence to corroborate this and to legitimize this. There was a pastor and his wife was a preacher there, and she went and she called herself a prophetess, and she would speak and she would tell people, here, listen, because remember, back in these days, and it's still around today, obviously, there were places where people would go into the markets and there would be sexual immorality going on. There'd be orgies going on because there were certain goddesses that they would worship. And in order to worship this goddess, you had to commit the sex act with one another. And so there was a lot of this going on in the marketplace. And there were people who were eating things that were sacrificed to idols. All this is happening in the marketplace. All this is happening at, listen, this is a Walmart you don't want to go to. That's all I'm going to say. All this is happening in the marketplace. And then all of a sudden, this woman comes and preaches. The wife of the pastor of this church is preaching. Listen, guys, go for it. Have sex. Do all of it, man. Just go ham. And that's what she's preaching. And Jesus is, obviously, he's saying, I got this against you. You allow that woman Jezebel. Man, Jesus, man, come on, Jesus. That's not PC, man. That ain't PC. That's not PC, Jesus. Calm down. You calling this woman Jezebel. You allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit a sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Watch this. And watch this now. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one, watch this, according to your works. What is Jesus saying here? Here's what a lot of people talk about. A lot of people say, oh yeah, you better repent. You better get right, Jezebel. You better repent or God's going to kill you. He's going to strike you down. But here's what I find more fascinating even than the punishment. Obviously, the punishment was going to happen. That's obvious. Because once again, as he said at the end, as the Lord Jesus says at the end, he rewards every person according to their works. If they don't get it right, if they don't repent from those dead works, and embrace faith in God and what God did in Jesus. So I don't find that surprising. Obviously, that's going to happen. Obviously, God's going to reward her according to her works. But here's what I find mind-boggling. He says, and I gave her time to repent. This is Jezebel. This is a person who is going off. Don't tolerate the Jezebel spirit. We've all heard the amazing messages on this. Yet Jesus says, I gave Jezebel time and space to repent. But she didn't repent. In other words, it's letting us know that what a grace gift this is. Even though Jezebel was doing things that were horrid, horrific, despising the grace of God. Yet Jesus says, I'm giving her time to repent. I gave her time to repent. I gave it to her. And then he says, listen, there'll be a reckoning. I'll reward her according to her works, and her kids will die because I'm rewarding her according to her works, not because I'm mean. Come on. Not because I'm mean, not because I'm trying to teach. No, I'm just rewarding your works. But you don't have to do that if you'll repent from those dead works. That's what he says, unless they repent of their deeds, their dead works, and they embrace faith in me, then I can work in their lives. I went a little longer on this one. I apologize for that, but let's keep going here. I got two more verses. Can you give me two more verses here? Okay, cool. it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, if you've had enough, just you can click off at any point. You feel me? I love this, man. I love you guys. Acts 26, verse 20. It says, "But declare first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles," watch this, "that they should repent, turn to God, and do works benefiting repentance." John the Baptist says that we are to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. There's supposed to be fruit that comes from this. Now, what are these works that we're called to do? Last verse, and I'm done. John 6, 28 through 29. What are these works that we're supposed to do? Jesus said, these people are talking to Jesus, and they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." They said, "What can we do to work the works," plural, "of God?" Jesus said, "This is the work," singular, "of God." What is that, Jesus? "That you believe in him whom he sent." Let's back it up to Hebrews 6, where it says here, "Turning from our dead works to embrace faith in God." What is the fruit? What is the work of repentance? The work of repentance is to turn from you trying to do it in your own self, trying to do it in and of your own strength, and embracing a faith towards God, believing in what God did in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing God's word and standing on the word and refusing to compromise. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that this showed and revealed to you that repentance is a grace gift. Repentance and faith are the conditions for admission into this Christian lifestyle. And I hope you can see that repentance is the way out. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for the grace gift of repentance. Thank you for each and every listener, Father. Lord, I pray my heart's desire is that we all get to a place where we're repenting. We're changing our mind about some things. We're making a U-turn. We're going in a different direction. The direction of faith towards God. Faith towards you, sir, and what you did in our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for this, Father. I pray this word was an encouragement to those who listened. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guys, listen, leave a like, a comment, a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps this podcast get out and for people to see it. Let's get those reviews up, the ratings up on Apple Podcasts. That would be a tremendous help to us here for the podcast. And let's keep spread the news and spread the word about these good things that our good God is revealing to us on the podcast. I love you guys so much. My name's Elijah Merle, and remember this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Thank you for listening to the Greater Than Podcast. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at merleministries.com. That's MURRELL ministries.com. Merle Ministries International.